Zach Moore, you're the full-time sound designer and sound engineer for the Radu Shakespeare Company. And when I say full-time, I mean that you kind of work for us for a couple of hours every year and a half or so. Is that about right?
That's about right, and luckily that's really all I need to pay the bills. I live a reduced lifestyle, so I have a pretty low standards of living.
That's right. You're low maintenance.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for subscribing or for streaming or for downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Radu Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Radu Shakespeare Company podcast, number 118, Sound and Fury. And you know what that signifies. 8 weeks ago in podcast 110, we discussed the merits of Apple computers versus PCs, and it prompted a flurry of responses, which I guess I should have been able to predict. That will be the fury part in the second half of the podcast. But first, we'll go with the sound. This seemed like the perfect opportunity to talk to RSE sound designer Zach Moore, who uses both Macs and PCs to design sound for the Pittsburgh Public Theater and us and many, many others. We started our chat by remembering all the many different gigs he's done for us.
And sometimes you've actually been able to go out on the road with us, too. Like for Millennium, you toured with us on Millennium, and that was just awesome because you not only know the stage managing all that setup, but you had more sound engineering skills than any of us put together.
Well, I guess that's not saying very much.
No, but true. It's a very low bar. And you cleared it with ease. But now you've been instrumental in getting the Radu Shakespeare Company shows sound software up and running on the laptops that we toured with, and that's a sound system called Cricket. But that's not the system that you use at the public, right? That you use something else there. Is that right?
Right. We use a PC-based program called SFX, which is basically the pioneer program for theatrical sound playback. And since then, other programs have come along, like Cricket, which is pretty much being phased out now, to QLab, which seems to be the standard that everybody really likes to use nowadays.
Really? So QLab is the new standard for Mac-based operating
systems? It's the hot new trend. All the kids love it.
Oh, seriously? So we're going to have to upgrade our computers to QLab now. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and the household here in Pittsburgh now owns a Mac. So I do have the flexibility and the availability. Sometime I'll be able to transfer all your shows to the new hot trend.
Listen, this is you getting a Mac. That's a big step for you because you've been one of the ardent PC guys for so many years.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was time to jump over the fence. Kelly, it's actually my girlfriend Kelly's Mac,
okay.
But we bought it together because part of my new job. There's a lot of Macs at the University of Pittsburgh where I now teach sound design as my new job. So I had to have a Mac to be familiar with some of the software and to be able to troubleshoot and get things going and up to date with what they're doing.
But do you see a qualitative difference between like SFX and Cricket and QLab, or do they all pretty much do the same job?
They all pretty much do the same job in different manners. Cricket is probably the hardest one to use. It's not as user-friendly and as intuitive as some of the other programs. You have to jump through a few hoops to get it to do what you want it to do. SFX is great. Everybody knows how to use it. It's very simple to use. QLab does have the added feature of being able to run video as well,
ooh,
which has been pretty instrumental for a lot of people in their productions. You know, for low-cost, very easy-to-use video software.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Audio software. So yeah, it is pretty cool how that works.
Well, and I remember you fought long and hard to have us adopt SFX on the road with us, but none of us were all Apple based, and except for maybe Faulkner, none of us are that religious about it. Except that's what we were used to and comfortable with, and we didn't want to have to learn a new platform just to run
right.
Sound software. So you were good enough to teach us Cricket, but it now sounds like QLab is going to be the way to go, and maybe even more intuitive for the next generation of our sound?
I think so, too. It seems like the QLab came out shortly after I handed everything back to you on Cricket. So after I spent all that time working on it, you know, they finally came out with a better version of something to use. But
well, and we're going to have to update, you know, for our next show, whatever it is, you know, maybe that'll be the time that we finally update all the shows into QLab.
Yeah.
And do you, now that you have a Mac that you're using with some sort of regularity, or in school, do you have a preference, or do you still cling to the PC? Have you drunk the Apple Kool-Aid?
Let's just say that I still prefer the PC to the Mac, only because the Mac won't let me configure it the way I want to completely.
Right.
I think the Apple and the Macs are made for people that want ease of use, and they're great at that. They're very easy to use because you don't have so many options and submenus and things you have to filter through to get to what you need.
Right.
But the people that are comfortable with having full access to all the parameters, mm-hmm. PCs are the way to go because you can customize it any way you want it to.
Yeah, and you pretty much have to because PCs are pieces of crap. That's what PC stands for, isn't it? Am I wrong about that? Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure. I haven't heard that yet.
You know what I just found out? That an anagram for Apple Macintosh is laptop machines.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Laptop machines?
Is an anagram for Apple Macintosh.
Nice.
I think that's...
Is that like Spiro Agnew, Grow Penis?
It's exactly like Spiro Agnew, Grow Penis. And just as meaningful.
Exactly.
Just as important. Are you finding that Apple computers are phasing out PCs in the theater?
I don't know, but I guess because a lot of people are starting to use QLab, that may be the case, but I'm not sure that it's phasing out yet. I think that people use QLab because it's free and everybody's using it. But one of the concerns that everybody has is what happens when the guy realizes that he can't survive by providing free software. So there seems to be a growing trend that people think that eventually it's not going to be a free program anymore, and what will happen then?
Well, it's this new young generation of kids who want to be paid for their jobs but think they can download music for free. And, well, what do you mean the software? I got to pay for the software? What the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're so it's up to you, the teachers of America, to instill this new attitude amongst our nation's young.
To add on to that, you know, since I'm a musician now that actually has a CD out in stores, you know, I have an extra concern for people pirating software and music because, you know, myself, I'm the, I suffer from people stealing our music, and I won't get my 2 cents for that CD that they bought.
That's right. And you've got a new video now for Hero Destroyed, don't you?
Yes, we do. Our new video for Cause for Cancer premiered last week on metalinjection.net, and it was pretty exciting. We've never done anything like that before, and I'll tell you a quick story how it happened. One day we had a blackout in our neighborhood, and my girlfriend Kelly and I were sitting on the porch, and this kid walks up the street and says, "Hey, you mind if I hang out with you guys for a little bit? My power's out." And we're like, "Oh, sure, why not?" And the kid comes up, and we get to talking. He finds out that I'm in a band, and we're on a record label, and he knows of us, and he offers to shoot a music video for us for his final project for school. And we're saying, "Well, I don't know, you know, we're not really sure if it'll be worth it. It'll probably turn out crappy." But we decided to go for it because it wasn't going to cost us anything. And so we shot the video, and it turned out really great. The whole thing cost us two $5 pizzas from Pizza and 2 6-packs. And we shot it, we loaded in, shot it, and tore it down all in about a 12-hour period. And the video premiered last week. And in less than 24 hours, we had over 45,000 views on it.
That's awesome.
That was pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I saw the video. It does look really great. And there's a lot of good camera work where you can actually see you guys playing your instruments. You
know, I don't really know if that was intentional or not, but I guess it worked out for the best.
Well, and what do you call your genre of music? What genre does Hero Destroyed play?
We consider ourselves just basic metal, but we get a lot of things from math metal to math rock to hardcore to experimental. But I think it all just falls under the general metal category.
Metal category. So it's not officially music to rape your mother by. That's just my own thing. That's what I call it.
Yeah, I don't think we quite get to that point.
That's just me showing what an old fart I am. So are you enjoying your new gig as a teacher or professor?
It's actually strange. I never thought I would be here at this point in my life, you know, teaching. But I'm actually enjoying it a lot, and my class seems to really enjoy the class. Although it seems to be kind of a no holds barred class. One of the projects we do is daily we have to talk about sounds that the class has heard. in detail, and you know the types of variations in the sound and the source and orientation and all the different detailed information about it. But a lot of the students like to come in and talk about their neighbors having sex. And it just seems to be a continuing trend in our class. I don't know why, but ours is the class that everybody swears and talks about sex. But
well, you know, this ties into something we discovered back in January, and we talked about in last week's podcast. The young people of America, the future leaders of America, what are they like? Boobies and wieners. It's these are classic and timeless subjects.
You know, and the next generation will love them just as much.
Yes, they will. All right, man, take it easy.
All right, I'll see you too.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Scott Simon of NPR News. You're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Fool.
Where can you see the RSC? This week in the UK, the 97-city tour of the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, continues at the Leatherhead Theatre in Leatherhead. On the 11th, we'll be in Stourbridge at the Town Hall Theatre. On the 12th, in Barry at the Memorial Hall Theatre, skipping a Friday the 13th performance in the UK, just slightly superstitious, and continuing on the 14th in Bromsgrove at the Artrix Theatre, and on the 15th at the Theatre Stwoot in Wrexham. Now, in the U.S., you can see Completely Hollywood Abridged in Columbus, Ohio at the Southern Theater on March 11th, and The Complete History of America Abridged at the University of Illinois in Springfield on Friday the 13th. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for more information about specific venues and tickets. And now we go to the Fury. If you haven't listened yet to Podcast 110, go back and listen to that now. We'll wait. Fantastic. Now, you've heard Matt Rippey and Michael Faulkner go back and forth. And now I'll read you some of the emails we got. We just got such a fantastic response from everybody. We got great information about people's computer preferences. And thankfully, nobody got confused like Mick Orphan sent us their sexual preferences. But for instance, John Jackner from Woodbridge, Illinois said, "Thanks for the great podcast. The nerd, or is it geek? I don't know. Inside me was cracking up at the heated discussion as I listened to the podcast today." Downloaded from iTunes on my MacBook, he says. "Please send my condolences to Matt Rippey, who has to deal with users of all different browsers. I work for a Mac-based, for the record, technology company, and a large portion of our work is web development. I, too, know the challenges of getting a site to look right in all three of the major browsers. But kindly let him know that, in my humble opinion, nothing looks how I design it in Internet Explorer. Everything works in Firefox. Safari tries too hard to make stuff look, quote, beautiful and sleek and sexy, and Internet Explorer just breaks everything. Thanks again for the hard work." Thank you, John, for that email. Alexa Chipman writes, "Although a defender of Macs, I must say as a fellow webmaster that it would make my job much easier if everyone used the same browser. Switch to Firefox, everyone. Destroy all copies of Internet Explorer and Safari. Their loves I prize as the dead carcasses of unburied men that do corrupt my air. Speaking of which, in the new version of Complete Works of William Shakespeare, will there be more about Coriolanus?" Oh, Alexa, such a great email. And then you had to spoil it by mentioning the anus play. Brenda Allen from the UK, I think, sends us this email regarding your latest podcast. "The reason I like to use the Windows streaming method to..." She uses the Windows streaming method to listen to the podcasts, which is a very small percentage of people do that. But she says the reason she likes to do that is because of the visual aspect. All the shapes, patterns, and colors that come in. It reminds me of a kaleidoscope and the Spirograph game. Last night, there was one that looked a bit like an alien, and I think in the podcast before Reed was telling on the story, there was a shape on that just looked like a huge pink butterfly. Surely as actors you can appreciate the visual aspect as well." Yes, Brenda, we do, and you're either watching a great visual program or are on some fantastic drugs. iTunes also has a visual component as well, just FYI. Got this email from Marcus Albers in Köln, Germany. "Hi, RSC. I only recently discovered your podcast and am working my way up. I just came to listen to podcast 105 and it is hilarious. The best episode since he, Captain Kirk, buckles his swash and his girdle. It is so unbelievably funny that I had to listen to it three times in a row, and then I reenacted the whole story for my wife and had her rolling on the floor. It is so true what Joel Murray says on the episode. I, too, almost peed my pants. Just had to buy your DVDs, and I hope to see your live performance soon. Thanks for the great work, Marcus." Okay, well, thanks for the great email, Marcus. That has nothing to do with apples and PCs, but I just wanted to read an email from Germany. But then we got this email from Avadon Ackerson, from whom podcast listeners have heard in the past. Hey, folks of the RSC, normally I listen to a podcast and am content with the occasional comment about it on the message boards at reduceshakespeare.com. I had to give a more in-depth feedback on this one. I'm a computer science major, so here's a few things. If I do nothing else, I have to correct Faulkner's pronunciation of the word Linux. The lie does not sound like line, it sounds like lint. Linux. I cringed every time I heard him say what sounded like Linus. With that out of the way, I'm a Mac user now, but I use PCs for a long time. When I got to my senior year of college, I needed a new computer to do my senior design project, and it was the same time as the release of Vista. So I took the Mac, since I had a lot more problems with Vista, and it's been awesome. I like the interface much better, the system is more stable, and there's much better support in place for it. I think the debate between Mac and PC can be summed up in this story. I was talking to my father a few months ago, and he said he wanted a new computer and debated getting a Mac or PC. Recognizing that he's 50 and not big on change, I presented the options like this. If you get a PC, you'll be frustrated with the operating system failing, and if you get a Mac, you'll be frustrated with the organization and the mouse. Each system has its strengths and weaknesses. I think that Mac is the way to go because once you get over the learning curve of how to interact with a Mac, you're set. I'm sure I've got more, but let's not dwell on the horrible pronunciation of Linux by Faulkner too much longer. Keep up the fun times, guys. Avadon Ackerson. P.S. Seriously, Michael, how can you know about the Linux history but not say it right? Well, that's a great letter, Avadon. Thank you. And I will let slide the aspersions you cast on those of us pushing 50 who are resistant to change. Not all of... All right, never mind. But then we also heard from RSC actor Jeff Marlowe, a bit of a nerd and a geek himself. So nerdy and geeky, in fact, he recorded his response.
Okay, so they're both right, of course. Rippy's right that way more applications are written for the PC thanks to its popularity. But also, thanks to its popularity and its various vulnerabilities, it's a walking target for viruses, which the Mac, well, isn't. Now, I don't think Rippy's right, though, that fiddling is limited on the Mac. He said a PC opens up the world to you? I mean, come on, if you're a geek, you can find things to play with on either operating system. It's the vulnerabilities that are the real issue. And the Mac is easy to use and idiot-proof in a way that the PC never is. As one very good example, my dad, bless him, proudly deleted all of the firewall and virus software from his PC because he thought it was slowing it down, and he found himself with a non-working brick in a matter of weeks. And now that I've persuaded him to switch to a Mac, that's not an issue. He can delete and reconfigure as much as he wants, and it's still unlikely, at least, to get invaded and destroyed. Most importantly, though, and this is serious, both Rippy and Faulkner managed to destroy any credibility they might have had for either of their arguments by gleefully and repeatedly mispronouncing the word Linux. And I, for one, as a fellow geek, was personally mortified. And for that, I personally expect a full and abject apology from both of them.
All right, well, I don't think I can get an abject apology from both Matt Rippy and Michael Faulkner, but at least I have Michael Faulkner standing here. Michael, how do you respond to Jeff and Avadon and the pronunciation of Linux?
Well, with abject denial, I believe.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. First of all, I don't think somebody named Avadon has any right to lecture anyone on the pronunciation of anything.
Is it Avadon? Is it Avid? That's still yet to be determined. Avadon?
Avadon? Avadon?
Right.
I don't know.
I met him. He's an awfully nice guy.
I'm sure he is.
But really, seriously, change the name.
And really, I'm just...
Linus. Let's call him Linus. Linus Ackerson.
Yeah, Linus. And if you were to pronounce Linux lint... Linux, that makes no sense whatsoever. Because he did say, it sounds like lint, but Lintux, that's nothing.
No, that
sounds like something you wear made out of something you pull out of the dryer.
See, but I would have done the same thing. Linux, in the same way it's pronounced Windows Operating System.
Yeah, and you don't say Unix, you say Unix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the long vowel.
Yes.
It's always the long vowel.
The long vowel. And that guy's Swedish. What the hell does he know?
Yeah, Swedes pronounce everything that's in English wrong, so you can't listen to anything. But no, I mean, we're doing this all in fun, of course. But so Avadon Ackerson, you're welcome. I'm sorry.
So, but what did you think of Matt Rippy's confession there at the end of that podcast about how he really secretly covets all things Apple?
Well, as a Macintosh priest, I absolved him of all of his sins.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your arguments for or against Macs or PCs via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or post a message on our Reduced Babble board at the Reduced Shakespeare Company forum, or find us at facebook.com and at myspace.com/reducedshakespeare, or become a subscriber to the Reduced Shakespeare Company channel over on YouTube, or become a twit. Start following us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. It's the closest thing we have so far to the live RSC experience, and we're twitting from the road all this week. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, quiet and peaceful Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Heather Such. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Scott Simon from National Public Radio, who helped us play the music edition of the Reduced Name Game on Twitter last weekend. If you missed it, sign up for Twitter and search for Reduced Name Game. Thanks to all of you, of course, for listening and posting and emailing and tweeting. I'll leave you with the ultimate proof of how to pronounce Linux from the developer of the software himself. I'm Austin Titchener, 118/354 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Hello, this is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux as Linux.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.